All right. Right now it's 5 minutes after nine here on this Monday morning. Glad to have all of you out there today on this Dr. King's birthday celebration. As you know, he had his birthday, of course, on the 15th is when he was born back in 1929. In just a couple of moments, we'll be talking with meteorologist Jim Corbin, taking a look at the weather forecast. But right now we have in studio the chairperson or the chairwoman for the Dr. King Celebration Committee. Ethel Garvin is back with us. Good morning, Ethel.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Doing well.
You've got a busy day coming up later today, huh?
No, the third Monday of the month of January is always really busy for me.
Yeah. And it's always a good time, especially I know AACS has been playing for the last couple of weeks. They've been playing last year's with the former Patriot, Ed, I just watched it early again this morning. A lot of things going on, as I said. This past weekend, you had the first installment, or you had the first one of the things that happened over at La Salette in the afternoon. But before we get into the things that are going on, a little background on who Ethel Garvin is.
Ethel Garvin is a former resident of Norton, Massachusetts. Grew up in Norton, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Went to Norton Middle School, Norton High School. Graduated in 1982. Is that how far back you want me to go?
That's fine.
That's far enough. That's 30, almost 40 years ago. So yeah, went to Boston College after that. Graduated there from 1986. Did some time in Washington, D.C. after college. Went there, worked in for a association publication as the department editor. So, you know, I did some writing and some editing there. And then I moved back to Boston in 1996. And it was around that time that I got involved with the committee.
Right.
So after I moved back to Norton, my mother got me involved with the committee.
Yeah, your mom, Rachel Garvin, was a longtime person who's still with us. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
She has been on the committee. She actually was the chairperson, right?
She was the chairperson, yeah, and one of the founding members.
When did it start in this area? Do we know?
1987, they held their first one.
87. So, and your mom has been a very strong activist for the Martin Luther King Committee as well. But you also have some very many new people on some former members who are still with you as well.
Yeah. Mary Whelan.
Mm-hmm. She's still there with
us. Yeah,
that's great.
She's still my right-hand man. So she's been on it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she's been on and then came off, but she's been on since I've been chairperson, sort of steadily. And we have a new member, you know, Jermaine Patterson.
Yep.
You know, he's the owner of Patterson Creations.
Mm-hmm. Also and an also, Attleboro police officer yeah,
also
as well.
Attleboro
and a great
officer.
Man as well. Really great guy.
So we have him and the Reverend Jewel Hardman. Mm-hmm. She's the pastor at the Fruit of the Mission Church over there on Leroy Street.
Yeah.
Where my church used to be, John Wesley Amy Zion Church. She is now in that building. And Melissa Martin, another Attleboro resident. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty new to the committee and becoming my left-hand man.
Right. You got to have somebody on the right and somebody on the left.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And your mom is part of it too, right?
Nope. Oh,
she's not.
She's retired.
She's retired.
From,
she retired. I think she never retired. My God. Give her my best. I mean, I remember her from back then when we used to do all these things when I was with cable at Inland Cable and Comcast. But this event today doesn't start just today. I mean, the committee goes back so many months to get things together. I mean, like, you've got to get your speakers, singers, dancers, whatever. You've got to get these things in place, you know, with the help of Mayor Dumas and other people at City Hall.
Yeah.
But how far does it actually go back, and how much do you research on all these things?
Well, we take a month off, February, so we'll be off in February, and we start back up in March.
Mm-hmm.
So March. So we get a month off.
Yeah. And then you talk about next year's.
Yeah, that's when we begin talking about next year. We begin talking about, you know, maybe a location. If a church hasn't approached us sometimes at the actual event,
right?
You know, a clergy may approach us and say, you know, I want to host it next year. So if we don't know, we'll start in March.
Okay. So, and every single year, the committee does choose a different place of worship.
Yep, we try to.
The congregation of Agudas Akim up on 152 Is this how many times have they died? Is this not the first time?
I think it's the first time.
Is it the first time?
I think it's the first time. Yeah, I thought the committee had been there before. You know, before I came on. Right. But it sounds like they hadn't.
So yeah, you've actually had it in some great places in the past. I mean, just about every place of worship. Was it last year you had it in South Attleboro? I believe.
Two years ago then.
In South Attleboro.
So, yeah, 2 years ago in South Attleboro.
Down at St. Teresa's.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Last year it was at where now?
The Lutheran Church on 152.
152. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. All right. We are here with Ethel Garvin, who is the chairperson for the Martin Luther King Celebration Committee here in Attleboro. We're going to take a little look at the forecast right now. We have a brief update with meteorologist Jim Corbin. Jim?
Well, Dom, everything's moving along on schedule weather-wise. The Arctic air is moving in, so the temperature is going nowhere. It's going to stay in the 20s today. A mixture of clouds and sun. The flurries and snow showers from earlier are now gone. Clear tonight, the coldest night of the season, down into the low teens by morning. Wind chills by morning near zero. And then mostly sunny skies in the low 20s. Windy weather tomorrow continuing. So 2 days of strong winds today and tomorrow. And then somewhat better weather on Wednesday in terms of comfort, a high near 30. It looks like sun and clouds in the low 30s on Thursday, and it does look like we have the chance of our first real threat of snow, more than a couple of inches, by Saturday.
All right, Jim. Sounds good. Then we'll talk to you more in depth in about a half hour.
Okay.
All right. We are here with Ethel Garvin. You know, going into today, you know, at least we've got the snow stopping now.
That's
this
good.
Will be a better now as people head out to the services today. But as you said, today is going to be a great day as always. First of all, what can we expect this afternoon, first off?
At City Hall? Mm-hmm. At City Hall.
Yes, at City Hall first,
At City Hall, you can expect kind of the usual fare. We'll have our local and state representatives there to offer words on the occasion and giving some proclamations. And, you know, we'll have some singing today. So, words on the occasion and some music.
And like every year, it's not a long, drawn-out event.
No.
It's usually about a half hour or so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wonderful. I know a few couple of years ago you had some children doing the bell choirs.
Yeah,
in
that
the past.
Was really nice. Yeah,
that was a little different. Now today, down the line, you've got State Representative Richard Ross is going to be coming.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't met Valerie Tutson in a long. I met her years ago as a one of the storytellers who used to do a couple of Rhode Island television shows. She was PBS and WJAR in Providence.
Wow. Okay.
Valerie is a very unique individual. How did you finally get her? I mean, she's very, very smart and very likable young lady.
Yeah.
She really is.
I just the luck of the draw, I guess. I reached out to the Rhode Island Black Storytellers. Uh-huh. They said they'll get back to me with who was available, and she was available. So,
And I remember her nearly 20 years ago. I remember being in her company at a few times in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
She can do some really great stories.
Well,
I'm looking forward to it. Really a very nice lady.
Yep.
You also have now this young lady as well was part of our I Have a Dream speech that AACS promoted last year.
Yeah.
Alexia Motley is also going to be there as well.
She is. She is a former committee member.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to hear, you know, she's a songstress.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever heard Alexia.
I have.
Sing.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to hearing her sing. It's the first time when she was on the committee, we didn't ask her to perform. So I'm looking forward to hearing her sing and just to see her. You know, we don't get to see each other very often now that she's not on the committee. Yeah.
I don't know who these people, the Praise Academy School of Dance.
They're out of Stoughton. We just, you know, again, when we come together in March and April, we start thinking about what can we do that's new and different. And so we thought of a liturgical dance group.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get online and you Google, find out who's nearby, who might be willing to come. And as soon as I emailed, you know, the director, she was on board.
Mm-hmm.
Said, we love to do it. We've done King celebrations before, and we'll love to be there. So that was another lucky strike, I guess.
That's great. And I like the idea now that being celebrating the 29th annual King holiday. The great thing is the topic, Dr. King's beloved community expressed through the arts. Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the committee go from here? And where can you see it, you know, even 10, 20 years down the future?
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm hoping you know, today's event will help inspire individuals to want to live out King's Dr. King's beloved community so that we still will be relevant 10, 15, 20 years from now. You know, that's always a concern of mine.
Sure.
You know, will we have that type of longevity? I don't know. I'm hoping so.
You're hoping so.
I'm hoping so.
Now, in the past, you know,
it's a whole new generation. A lot of our, you know, I do see a lot of young folks in the, you know, audience when we're there. But then I do see a lot of the regulars. And I do wonder, you know, what's going to happen when some of the older regulars are no longer here.
Right.
Are we really tapping into the younger generation? I just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, you know, if you see some of the younger people and you see some of the same faces, you know, hopefully some of these older people, their kids, their grandkids can also live out Dr. King's speech as well. This event today, well, as you said, is not the first thing. What went on Saturday?
On Saturday, that the committee partnered with On Common Ground, which is a mentoring organization here in Attleboro, to do a King Day of Service event. So that makes it a little bit different. We wanted folks to be able to come out and do something a little bit more hands-on to get them sort of more active in doing something that would help them envision Dr. King's beloved community. So what we had was, and it was, it's sort of, it ended up being tied to or related to what the committee was already doing in terms of our theme, using the arts to express Dr. King's beloved community. So there were a variety of tables where art activities going on that were related to King's, expressing King's beloved community. So we had Deborah Britt there, who was there with her doll making. We had a table where young people could make, or anybody, not just young folks, anybody could make clay bracelets. They were called Stronger Together bracelets. They were multicolored, you know, just to, to give a sense of doing something that reflected diversity. And then Mem Fawcett was there with a you know, multicolored fabric to weave into a I don't know what a large mural. So she had fabric there to create into a mural, you know, again reflecting, you know, diversity. And so we hope. And then we had some journaling and some poetry writing, all, you know, centered around getting people to think about, you know, what would you do to build Dr. King's beloved community. So hopefully through those activities, you know, the young people there and all the folks there began to think about, you know, what it means to reflect Dr. King's, you know, beloved community.
Now, yourself, any other the committee members, your mom, in the past, has anybody from that committee or whoever ever seen any of Dr. King's children? I know his, I think his son is still a pastor in the in that sense as well. Anybody, you know, has seen them in the past though?
I met the son, Martin Luther Jr. The third.
Yes.
But that was back when I was in college.
Okay.
So I think one of the organizations on my the college campus brought him in, so I got to meet him. He's very soft-spoken.
Yeah.
Very soft. We had to lean in to hear him talk. So, you know, that was, I don't know, over 30 years ago now. Yeah.
Anybody have ever met Coretta years back? That would have been history right there as well.
No, but I did see Coretta. You know, I was on the train coming back from, I think, somewhere south, maybe South Carolina, going into Washington, D.C., when I lived in D.C., and the train was pulling into Delaware, and I thought, that's Coretta Scott. You know, at the train, she was waiting on the platform to get on the train. And I said, I knew that was Coretta Scott waiting on the platform. And when I got off at Union Station in D.C., you know, I saw her get off, so I kind of walked behind her. So, you know, I wasn't too far behind her. But I didn't get to meet her, but I did see her.
Well, I mean, that would be, a quote, a celebrity right there as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
You know, looking at and listening to and viewing that that beloved speech that he did, you know, there was just, I mean, there were thousands and thousands of people, you know, there next to the monument. You know, I can just imagine at a young man around 34 years old when he was back then.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that he wasn't, everybody's got a little bit of stage fright, right? But it, looking at his speech and seeing him, it just flowed easily for him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not for everyone out there, but Dr. King basically did that because of the passion. His passion, you could hear the, you could hear it in his voice.
Yeah, he definitely was the spokesperson.
Yeah,
you know, he was the person who was able to synthesize or bring together all the different thoughts and opinions that, you know, were going on between other Black leaders, and sort of pull it all together and articulate it for everyone. Mm-hmm. I remember watching, it must have been Beat the Press, or it was one of those news talk shows, and they had a panel of all the sort of who's who of whoever was the Black leaders at the time. And Dr. King was just kind of plucked in the middle of them. I don't think he had come out yet as the leader yet. So he was sort of sitting amongst, you know, the other eight panelists. And right away, I can see why he became the spokesperson. Because as one person spoke, you know, maybe it wasn't so clear what they were trying to say, you know, but they got it out.
Right.
And then somebody else spoke, and I kind of was able to piece together what they were saying. But Dr. King was sitting there sort of in the middle of this group, and he was able to put together what the person over there said that I didn't really quite get completely, and what the other person said, and he just sort of pulled it all together and made it make sense, you know, and he just articulated it very well. I'm like, oh, okay, now I get what they were saying, and I get why he became the spokesperson, because he just had that ability. He was an orator, so
he was
able to pull everyone's thoughts together and make it make sense and present it.
Now, the other thing is, on the pamphlet that you had for today, the great monument with his likeness on that. I mean, and that is in our nation's capital.
Yes, it is.
Have you gone?
I did. I think 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Years go by really fast.
Yeah,
I think
they do.
So 2014 or 2013, I got down to see it.
Now, when you see something like that, I mean, being on the committee and with your passion with this, I mean, what does it go? What do you feel when you see a monument to Dr. King?
I felt, you know, there was quiet moments.
Yeah.
You sort of just stand back and reflect at the beauty of the work, the beauty of the work. You're glad that it was done. You know, amongst all the other monuments there, that, you know, that the time and thought and the effort was put forth to make sure that happened.
It was a long time in coming, I understand.
It was, you know, I'm trying to remember back, but yeah, it was a long time in coming, and, you know, some disagreements about who was doing it and blah, 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 and what was written on it, but seems settled now.
Yeah, exactly. but now it's done. People can go down there, you know, anytime they want to, and see the great work down there amongst our nation's capital.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take just a quick break here. We have Ethel Garvin here from the Dr. Martin Luther King. The actual name of the whole committee is what?
It's his name, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's what makes it really long, is
yes,
his name.
Yes, exactly.
Memorial Committee of Greater Attleboro.
Of Greater Attleboro, yeah.
So we just shorten it to MLK Committee of Greater Attleboro.
That's what I was going to say. Some people will just turn around and say the MLK because people know who MLK was.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we've got Ethel Garvin. We'll be joining her in just a couple of moments. Stay with us.
Hope Artiste Village, located on Main Street in Pawtucket, is the place to be on Saturdays throughout the winter season. Local vendors will be available from 9 till 1 p.m. at the Pawtucket Wintertime Farmers Market with a variety of in-season fruits, vegetables, eggs, and so much more. To find out what's up and growing each and every week at the market, visit the web at Pawtucket/Wintertime Farmers Market. Buy fresh, buy local.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today. So it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
The ladies of the Annawan Lions Club will host their annual calendar dance at Hillside Country Club on Saturday, January 23rd, starting with cocktails at 6:30. followed by dinner at 7 p.m. For more information, call 508-824-0534. Come love the oldies on Friday, February the 12th, from 7 p.m. till midnight at the Attleboro Elks, located on South Main Street. The stage will be set, ready, and waiting for the Villaniers, the Reminiscence, and Portia Funches, granddaughter of Tony Funches, the lead singer for the legendary Platters. For more information, call 508-509-5400.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back with you here here on 1320. We are here with Ethel Garvin, who is on the Martin Luther King Jr. Committee, the chairperson for this committee as well. You know, the other thing I was thinking of, Ethel, is when someone, me, you, whoever it is, especially on the committee, mm-hmm. when you hear and watch the mm-hmm. I Have a Dream speech, mm-hmm. you know, we kind of talked about it a few moments ago with some other people. Back then, I mean, yeah, it was an 18-minute speech back then, and what are people thinking these days when they're hearing this? I mean, this is 1963 mm-hmm. I mean, Dr. King, as you said, was a great orator, but I've mm-hmm. always wondered, somebody, you know, from the Martin Luther King Committee, you know, are the same thoughts in your mind should be on as Dr. King had in the early 60s. You know, what do you think of, mm-hmm. you know, personally, when you think of and when you watch the Dr. King speech?
I mean, I think we're all still moved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still enraptured by his poise, his presence, what he said and in the way that he delivered it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it still resonates when he talks about, you know, we've come in to cash this check. I think mm-hmm. people still feel like there's something old or doomed, sure. so the words still resonate.
Yeah, I mean, listening to the last part of it, you know, from the hills of here to yeah. to the land, all over the country. I mean, it really, when I see people or hear people, sometimes you'll almost see a tear in people's eyes because it's so strong.
Because it still resonates. Because mm-hmm. we really haven't gotten there yet.
Right.
We still haven't really reached that place. I think people who may be new to this country, who sure. come from other places, you know, I know that they respond. Mm-hmm. We had when we did the speech last year, the community speech for I Have a Dream. Mm-hmm. I know the folks or the students who were involved from the Literacy Center were really moved by it, you know, because they're coming from countries to here, and so, you know, what he says about. Mm-hmm. You know, accepting of and including of, you know, people of different ethnic groups and right. diversity in its speech. You know, they're still moved by that. So those words are still powerful to those of us who are still, you know, living in the United States, trying to create this great vision of this country that is full of diverse people.
In around, not just around this area of greater Attleboro area, around the the state, the country. Are there other celebration committees in the Bay State? Are there other committees?
Oh, yeah, there are. I mean, I don't know them all, but, mm-hmm. I definitely know that there's, big events going on in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know that, there are groups in Rhode Island and mm-hmm. Providence. And I don't know who they are.
Right.
We've never, partnered with, everybody's got their own little niche and doing their own thing.
And it's probably the mm-hmm. same in probably almost every single state. Now, mm-hmm. which is good now, as mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier this morning, all 50 states honor Dr. King on the third Monday mm-hmm. In January as well, mm-hmm. Which is really terrific now. Because, it's something that, as you said, when... the other thing is a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to somebody here in the city. In fact, I think they were here in the studio. I was interviewing them. But they were saying about Dr. King, they said, I would have loved to see him in person.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at the I Have a Dream speech. And then when the news came is when he was assassinated, back then in 68, people were saying, not Dr. King, I mean, it was devastating. It was, it was almost like a rock star, being killed, mm-hmm. In fact, the person said it was almost like John Lennon, or JFK, mm-hmm. But Martin Luther King, how did he say it? Martin Luther King brought America together. Basically the way your topic is beloved community expressed through the arts. Mm-hmm. Dr. King, was and still is, mm-hmm. would be, I think, one of the great civil rights leaders throughout history. I think mm-hmm. personally,
exactly.
When I was in high school and college, we did a paper on different people. I did JFK. Somebody did this, Abraham Lincoln. A gentleman sitting behind me did Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
He came from South Providence at the time, and he said, Dr. King will always be, and I mentioned to you off the air, a gentleman, mm-hmm. a friend of mine who I went to high school with, said, will always be the star in history for me, he said. He was on Facebook the other day, mm-hmm. and I mentioned to him, because I remembered it, mm-hmm. that that I was going to have you here, and mm-hmm. I remembered it on Friday, I think it was Thursday or Friday when I emailed him,
mm-hmm.
and he actually got back to me over the weekend, and he said, I'll be listening, and he's the gentleman who I said to you off the air. He says he would like to be probably part of the Rhode Island Black Storytellers, Vernon Brown, his name is. He graduated with me from LaSalle back in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and he's still living with his wife and kids now in Providence.
Okay.
And like I said, he actually, since we got out of high school, he went to college, he's working now, but he said to me that now he is following Dr. King's life as mm-hmm. far as bringing people together in his church.
Okay.
He goes to a small church in Providence in the South End, and he actually, last weekend he was the commentator, one of the guest commentators,
okay.
and he basically said that Dr. King's speech, he was actually going to take 10 minutes of that speech and cut it into it, from the 18 down to 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and take the meat of it, basically, he had mm-hmm. said, and I haven't heard from him yet since. Mm-hmm. But he said, wish me luck. I'm sure I'll be doing great. But there's a gentleman who was more of a rebel rouser in high school.
Oh, okay.
And then now he's actually turned his life right around. He found God again, he was brought up Baptist. He actually was brought up Catholic and then turned over to Baptist.
Okay.
But now he's, like I said, he's a guest commentator every other week in his church. I think that's one of the main things I think a lot of people may want to hear about something like that is you're always looking for new people on your committee.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're a small committee with a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're always looking for new members.
Right.
Right now there's, five of us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested.
Yeah, how can people get in touch with you?
You can email me, mm-hmm. ethel.garvin@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
This is the first time, is this the first year for Jermaine?
Or is he
not? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, he got involved. How did he get involved?
No, actually, it's not. He was a member a few years ago, okay. way back, you know, just maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. But then his schedule,
right?
He got busy with some other activities. So he was always kind of there in the background, mm-hmm. like wanting to help. You know, always we always kind of stayed in contact. And so this year, just sort of stuck.
Kind of fell together.
We meet at his place now. I think that makes it easier.
Yeah.
We moved our meeting location. And so now we meet at Patterson mm-hmm. Creation. I think that makes it easier for him to be able to.
Yeah, because coming from there, from the police department, yeah. and then to there, I mean, only a few steps that yeah. basically takes for,
so,
for
yeah,
him
that
as
makes
well.
It easy for him.
It does. When people get together this afternoon, what do you want to see people take from both events today?
Some reflection. Mm-hmm. You know, when we put this program together, we chose the arts because we thought the arts would be a softer way of delivering a hard message. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, you can come hard at people, and maybe they'll resist. And so we thought coming at, you know, you need to think about maybe what you're not doing or maybe ways that you're resisting becoming, you know, Dr. King's beloved community. What are you doing that's preventing that from happening, you know, in your attitude, in your demeanor, in your acceptance of people mm-hmm. in your community? So we thought doing it through the arts, through singing, through a comedian, through
that's
song
right.
and dance
and
storyteller, you know, we deliver that message in a softer way. So we're hoping people will feel comfortable mm-hmm. to reflect and say, okay, maybe I need to change this, or maybe I need to change that.
Yeah,
in me.
Right, exactly. And it's one of the first times that you've had a comic coming in as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. And so I'm hoping it works well.
Who do you have now?
Corey Manning.
Okay.
Jermaine found him.
Okay.
So I don't know. So this will be my first time mm-hmm. seeing and hearing him.
And that's perfect because mm-hmm. you, like you said, for the arts, you want to have a little bit of everything. You've got mm-hmm. you've got the song, you've got the, you know, the singing, you've got the dancing, you've got the comic.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some speeches, you know, some yeah. brief speeches from some representatives as well.
Yep.
And then you'll be doing a couple of keynote things as well. You'll be opening up doing the keynote address as well. But hopefully everybody will come out, and I know both of them will be done live. But you want to see the people in the seats.
I want to see the people in the seats.
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, it's going to be a better afternoon. So I mean, yeah, people should have a problem driving down there.
Yeah.
This.
So the sun is coming out now. I just noticed that. So mm-hmm. you know, so
there was a picture in yesterday's paper. Uh-huh, in the yes. Sun Chronicle, one of the photographers took it, and it was going back through I don't know how many years. It was probably when your mom was on the committee. There was a scene coming down Capron Street right here in Attleboro.
Okay,
they may have been standing on top of the trestle up there on top of the bridge mm-hmm. of the committee coming towards them, the camera person. It might have been Tommy McGuire from the Chronicle, and coming towards him. Every year, I remember years ago, I remember, you know, when it was closer, people
yeah.
walked through the streets.
Yeah, they used to do the marches if the church location was close to City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we did one, you know, since I've been the chairperson, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But we've been trying to go to new locations, and mm-hmm. so sometimes we're not as close to City Hall.
Right.
So we haven't organized the march.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, yeah. But yeah, they used to regularly
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, and I remember when I used to when I was videotaping for the cable years back, I remember following the march through mm-hmm. the streets from City Hall and then to the closest, either it would be a Second Congregational, one of the other
yeah.
churches right in the center.
Yeah,
and it was always great. In fact, I think one of them may have been at the Zion Church. I think years ago, it may have been one of the. I don't know, what was the last one?
I don't know. It was, you know, Zion Church is so small.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they could have before I came along.
I'm trying to remember because, in fact, I remember one year, it was very small that people were trying to, you know, go through it. But the one thing that I do remember, just like it was yesterday, excuse me, about the great crowd they had at Second Congregational, mm-hmm. where when I was videotaping, I had another gentleman working with me at the time from the cable. Mm-hmm. One gentleman was down below, and I was set up in the balcony section, the inside those glass windows down there to get everything. Mm-hmm. But the committee, I mean, once again, did a tremendous job on that. And boy, you could hear, people outside could hear the singing. Oh. No word of a lie. Some people were outside, and the pastor at the time, or his assistant, had to, in fact, I remember this just like it was the other day.
Yeah.
The first person that I saw opening the back door was Judy Robbins. She walked, she let the people come in. She was a part of that committee.
Yep.
I mean, she was part of the congregation. But she says, and I remember her, because I had come down for a moment, and Judy Robbins was saying, come on in, we got plenty of room, plenty of room. And the place was nearly mobbed.
Wow.
As soon as they saw former Mayor Judy Robbins in there, or well, at the time she was the mayor back then, when they saw Judy, she let out a big hug and said, come on in, this is open to all.
Yeah.
And she, I'm, you know, remembering her from, you know, her days as well, very big worker as well here in the city of Attleboro, working with the committee.
Yep, she did. She was part of the
committee.
But I
tell you, I think everybody, all the mayors that you've been part of here in the city of Attleboro, they reached out to the committee. The committee.
They give their support. They do.
Which is great. I'm glad. I'm glad to see that as well.
Yeah.
In the last couple of seconds that we have for this, basically, once again. Tell us once again what people can expect this afternoon and what time can people get down there.
Okay, at 1 p.m. at Attleboro City Hall, you can come out to our short, abbreviated program, which is sort of the kickoff for the day's event. You'll hear words on the occasion from your state and local leaders, you know, the Mayor Dumas, you know, council members, Representative Paul Horow, Betty Poirier, and Senator Timbalty will be there. And we'll have singing by the Reverend Jewel Hardman. And then when you go to Agudas Akim for the Interfaith Service, you'll get to see this keynote event we'll have lined up, you know, sort of an open mic format, but not really open mic because not everybody can come in and talk. So you'll hear, you know, you get to see a comedian, Corey Manning. You'll get to hear singing by our soloist, Alexia Motley, and hear a song and a dance and spoken word routine by Patrice Ambrose, the director of Praise Academy, and then we'll sort of, you know, end it all with the storyteller, Valerie Tutson. So hopefully it'll be entertaining and educational. Give you something to think about.
I'm sure it will be like they have been in the past. That's for sure. Always a little bit of everything for some, bit for something for everyone. And this one, it sounds like it's more active and it's more entertaining.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, every year it's very interesting and entertaining and very well done as the committee does. But this year sounds like it's actually got to be funner, but that's not a word. More of an entertaining afternoon, basically.
Hopefully, yep. That's what I'm hoping.
That's what you
entertaining and educational. And
that's what you usually do. That's for sure. But good luck this afternoon.
All right.
All right.
Thank you
Ethel
so much,
Gavin. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
All right.